Good morning again. It's good to be with you. It's good to see many of you. And I know that a lot of our family will be watching online later on, traveling this weekend with Presidents' Day weekend. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or turn to page in your worship guide. We began this time in 1 Corinthians almost exactly 11 months ago. We've had breaks from Corinthians during that time, but we've spent 37 weeks in the book of 1 Corinthians. As I shared in my pastor weekly email, kind of two main reasons I thought it would be good to do 1 Corinthians. When I was thinking about what to preach through next, we were coming to the end of 2020, and I was thinking, okay, new sermon series starting in kind of March, you know, 2021, you know, 1 Corinthians would be good because we'll be coming out of COVID-19 and re-emerging and rebuilding the community of our church, and it'd be good to be in 1 Corinthians kind of during that time. Well, COVID-19 turned out to last a little bit longer, and 2021 in many ways looked a lot like 2020, and so we're still kind of beginning to kind of re-emerge and kind of to reconnect as a new church family, and we're kind of done with 1 Corinthians. Second reason I thought of 1 Corinthians was just being grieved and troubled by what we see in our culture, what we've seen in our culture, not just in 2020, but in the years before that, just this rapid decline of our ability to have, you know, what they call social discourse. Just how ugly social media had become. Just how fractured and broken people were. And just how, in terms of their ability to talk or discuss or disagree. And then just how kind of intense those disagreements got during 2020. I thought it'd be good for us to be in 1 Corinthians because the spirit of our world and the spirit of our culture, it impacts us. It's the water that we breathe in. It's the water that we swim in. We don't want to breathe in that water. It's the air that we breathe and the water that we swim in, and it impacts us. And 1 Corinthians is really about God working with a congregation that has a lot of disagreements, a lot of conflicts, a lot of issues, and calling them to be the body of Christ together, to work through difficult things. But as we're going to look at this morning, there's a reason 1 Corinthians has the most beautiful passage in Scripture, I would argue, on what it means to love. The reason that's in Corinthians is because they needed to remember love. So this morning we're going to just wrap up our time in Corinthians. We're going to go back and look at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we're going to look at some of the passages we looked at last week and some of the stuff we didn't get to last week with regard to what it means to be the body of Christ. Because that's what 1 Corinthians really kind of gives us a great insight into. What does it mean to be a church? What does it mean to be part of a church family? What does it mean to be part of a church family when we have differences of opinion, when we have difficulties, when we are all trying to figure out what it means to live faithfully as followers of Jesus Christ in a messed up, sinful, and confusing world? Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us this morning as we now turn to your word in a more focused fashion. Lord, would you meet us as we worship you this morning and speak to us the words of eternal life. Lord, regardless of where we are at in our hearts, our souls, our minds, regardless of where we are at with our sleep levels, or their level of relational harmony or disharmony that we are experiencing. Regardless of where we're at with work and family and love and friends and finances, We ask that you would speak to us this morning and meet us as we worship you. That as we come to the Lord's Supper, as we sing in Christ alone, as we receive the benediction, that we would do that and that we would leave here as those who have met with the true and the living God. God, would you save us from just a nice or a pleasant Sunday morning? And would you give us your very self? For you are who we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to go through these three sections here one by one. Three main points this morning, if you want to know what they are, here they are. First of all, God has chosen. God has chosen. Secondly, the disposition of submission. The disposition of submission. And then thirdly, the primacy of love. The primacy of love. So first of all, God has chosen. Secondly, the disposition of submission. And then thirdly, the primacy of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 20, the first section that's there. Would you read along with me? For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Here what we see is God reminding the Corinthians and challenging them to say, hey, all you all, and yes, a Scotsman did just say all you all are part of the body. Yes, some of you feel like you don't have the sexy gifts. You don't have the upfront kind of spectacular ones. You don't have the ones where everyone's like, ooh, look at that person with their gifts. And so you don't feel like you're important. You don't feel like you have a voice. You don't feel like you kind of have a place. And God is saying to them, look, all y'all are part of the body. And no one gets to say, well, I don't have the leadership gift, so I'm not really part of the body. And there's a diversity in the body that God is talking about here and saying, hey, all y'all need all y'all. You know, you need every part of the body. The public ones, the ones that are not so public. The ones that are up front, the ones that are kind of behind. You need each other. You are all part of the body of Christ. You're not just all part of the church in Corinth. You're all just part of a kind of a local community. That community is spiritually together the body of Jesus. Verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of you of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. What I want to focus on this morning is verse 18. It's easy to kind of miss, kind of skip over what verse 18 actually states. Did you catch it? Look at verse 18. What here does God say about you and our church? What here in verse 18 is God saying about you and the church? Verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. What God is declaring here is that he did sit down or stand up or whatever kind of in heaven, and he looked at his people and his churches, and he said, okay, Gene Henry, Church of the Redeemer, fits here. And with her, I'm going to put Andy Linus. And then at Church of the Redeemer, I'm going to put Don McCook. You know, I'm going to put Carrie Sellers. God arranged this church family. He put it together. He chose. And that's very different from me kind of saying, hey, I think I'm going to go to this church for a while. I like that church. That's the church I choose. God chose you for this church. And God chose this church for you. That's pretty different, right? There was a pastor in New York City, and I know this from someone who was on staff there during this time. It's a pastor in New York City who got a phone call in September 2001, not too long after 9/11 had happened. And that phone call was from someone at the White House. And they said, hey, Pastor so-and-so, I'm not going to tell you who it was, Pastor so-and-so, the president's coming to New York City. And he wants to sit down with you and some other pastors and faith community leaders to talk about what's happened and to hear from you all about what's going on. And this pastor said on the phone, hey, thank you. That's really an honor. You know, that's really an honor. But, you know, the thing is, we got too much going on with our flock. We got too much going on with people who've lost their homes or family members or jobs. Things are pretty chaotic, so thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it, but I can't make that meeting. Good pastor. A couple of days later, he gets a call from someone, let's just say much higher up the food chain at the White House, and says, Pastor, when the President of the United States requests that you attend a meeting with him, you don't say no. This is your president. He is requested to meet with you, and here is the time and the place of the meeting. I assume that you will be in attendance. And the pastor said, I'll be there. God chose you for this church family. God chose this church family for you. His word tells us that he has arranged this body together by his choice. How does that impact how we should think about church? How does that impact how we should think about our participation, our membership, our connection? It's astounding. And it's reassuring. And it elevates us to say, I might think I don't have much to offer. But God put us together. And he put me here for a reason. It's not by accident. And it's not simply the result of my choices and my preferences. Do you know where you fit in the body of Christ? You know, do you know where God has placed you? Do you have a sense that, hey, yeah, at Church of the Redeemer, here's where I fit in the body? Do you have a sense of belonging to say, yes, this is my body, like Carrie talked about earlier on this morning? This is my body and my family, a sense of belonging and a sense of fit. And those two things go together. That's kind of the application here. Sometimes we don't feel like we belong because we haven't found the place that we fit. And sometimes we don't know the place that we fit because for some reason we don't really kind of feel like we belong. And they go together and so serve at Church of the Redeemer. If you're struggling to find your place and how to fit, serve. Because when we serve, we have a greater realization of, here's where I fit, and yes, this is where I belong. There's a lot of opportunities providentially this morning as we wrap up 1 Corinthians. We've heard of a bunch of them about Streetwise from Carrie. Fill out that blue sheet. If you're new at Church of the Redeemer and you're struggling to connect, participate in Streetwise or Cherokee. If you've been at Redeemer for a while and you're like, I don't really know where I connect or if I fit, show up and serve at Streetwise or with Cherokee and you'll find the place that you fit. Or contact Pastor Bob to say, hey, I don't know where I fit. This is what it means to be the body of Christ. To understand that God chose you for this church and chose this church for you. Sunday morning communities. If you're trying to figure out how to connect, how to get a sense of belonging, which is hard at a church, especially with COVID-19 and all the transitions, show up at Sunday morning communities and participate there and get to know people. Get to kind of have a sense of belonging and identity and a format that's easier to connect. We are the body of Christ. That's our spiritual reality. Our spiritual reality is that we are a member of the body of Jesus at Church of the Redeemer. That's what's spiritually true. God has chosen you for this church and this church for you. Secondly, the disposition of submission. I know a lot of S's in that. The disposition of submission. Look with me at the second passage that's printed there in your worship guide from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 through 18. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts, and I can never pronounce that word right, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence. For they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. Here Paul kind of does a kind of bookend wrap-up. He references here as Stephanas. That he mentioned in the very, very beginning of 1 Corinthians as one of the people he baptized. And says he doesn't remember if he baptized anyone else, but he remembers Stephanas. It's great when Apostle Paul is baptizing so many people, he can't remember who he baptized and who he didn't. But here we come back to this in the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, as God calls the church in Corinth to a difficult thing. That is difficult for every single human being and every single member of a church, and that is to be subject to their leaders. To verse 16. Be subject to such as these and to every fellow worker or laborer. That's the word for submission. This Greek word means to submit, to obey, to be under the authority of. To take a subordinate place to subordinate yourself under, to arrange your life under someone else's authority. God here calls a church in Corinth to obey their leaders, to submit to them, to yield to them, to follow them. Now it's important for us to remember that this passage also talks about the character of those leaders. Look with me again at verse 15. Look at the end. And that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. This word here, devoted, means that they have given themselves over with a commitment. It's kind of like when you devote yourself in service. You make a commitment. You've accepted a role and a responsibility in such a way that it defines you. The people that we are to submit to are those who are defined by what? Their service of the saints. And we as Christians and as church members need to submit ourselves to those who've devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Now that's tough. Whenever I come across a passage like this, I always think about the very first wedding I did in Memphis, Tennessee. It was in an old church in Memphis, Tennessee. I won't mention the denomination it was in. But as I was preparing for this wedding, I got some kind of guidelines from the person at this church who kind of oversaw weddings. And we did a lot of weddings at the church because it's a beautiful place. And part of the instructions was, with regard to the worship service itself, their only requirement for using the facility was that I was not allowed to use the word submit in the service or in the vows. It was the only requirement. And of course, given my sick sense of humor and Scottish personality, I wanted to kind of call back and say, the part where we'll be decapitating chickens, we're still good with that? As long as I don't say submit. And the snakes, snakes are good. Llamas, we can have the llamas in there. Okay, great. But it did, it struck me. I mean, submit is a hard word. And yet, this church is like, the only thing you can't do is use the word submit. I'm like, man, what's that tell you about human nature? I do understand that one of the reasons a church would do that is because Christians have not done well with healthy love and leadership in marriage or in the church. And one of the reasons that it's hard, to deal with a passage like this is pastors are sinners too. And church leaders can be sinful and proud and abusive and demanding, obnoxious. They can refuse to listen. They can insist on their own way. And we've seen that, throughout the history of the church. We also see here in Corinth that it's been a problem, because Corinthians are sinners too. And they have not done a very good job of submitting to Paul's leadership. And he was an apostle, okay? And so Paul's calling them here to submit to their leaders, their fellow laborers. And that's part of what it means to be in a church, is to say, I will follow. I will support. I am not here as a customer or a client. I am not your kind of body of people that you need to keep happy in order to keep getting my vote. We're called to submit and to support with our finances, with our time, and with our hearts, to be a cheerleader for our fellow laborers. It's not just talking about pastors and elders. It's talking about those who labor in leadership and service at the church, to be a cheerleader for them, to support them. So first of all, God has chosen you for this church and this church for you. Secondly, the disposition of submission. And thirdly, the primacy of love. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 3 through 14, the last two verses printed in your worship guide. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. I love this kind of closing exhortation. The Corinthian church has been trying to figure out, in a messy way, what it means to serve God in this world. How to be faithful. Where the line is, where the line is between faithfully serving our world and kind of being in places and kind of being connected to things that we shouldn't be connected to. They're trying to figure out, you know, the difficulties of marriage and the brokenness of marriage. What happens when you're married to someone who's not a Christian? Or what happens when you're married to someone that you thought was a Christian, but you don't really see any real repentance or any kind of fruits of the Spirit in their life? You know, how do we worship together? How do we do the Lord's Supper? You know, how do we function as a church? We've all got these different gifts. And so the Corinthian church is grappling through real important issues about faithfulness, about love, sex, marriage, singleness, what worship should look like, you know, what our roles are in church. They're grappling through all those. And we've seen that as we've gone through 1 Corinthians. But the most important thing, and the thing that they had forgotten and lost sight of in their zeal, in the seriousness of these matters, and in their pride, was love. And that's why I think we see these things together at the end. Verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Is that kind of the exhortation to say, yes, we live in a messed up world. You know, there's all these pressures on us. There's all these temptations. Satan wants to distract you. Satan wants you to compromise. Be watchful, stand firm, act like men, be strong. And verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. Man, it's really easy to do verse 13. Not in love, right? We've all done that. We all do that. Strong, watchful, standing firm, but not in love. There's a reason that 1 Corinthians said that needed chapter 13, as I said earlier on. There's a reason that 1 Corinthians, or the Corinthian church, got the most beautiful and powerful passage on love in the Bible. It's because they kept on forgetting to do all things in love. And their definition of love was not sufficient. I'm sure people in the church in Corinth, just like me and just like you, probably would have said, yeah, what do you mean? I'm not being loving? I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because I love the Lord. Don't tell me I'm not being loving. And that's why God writes to them, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Brothers and sisters in Christ at Church of the Redeemer, this is God's word to us. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. Patient, kind to one another, not keeping a record of wrongs, not being irritable or resentful. And like we talked about last week, if we are going to do that for longer than 5 minutes, and that's about all we get in our own strength, is we need to know the love of Christ in and through us. So let me ask you as we close, do you know God to be patient with you? Is your God patient with you? Have you and are you experiencing the kindness of God? It's a beautiful word. That God is kind to you. He's not irritable or resentful. Is your God irritated with you a lot? Do you feel his resentment? Well, hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, all that has been taken away. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you were forgiven for all of your sins. God took His anger and His irritation and His judgment out on Jesus. So if you put your faith in Him, He's not irritated with you. He's patient. He's kind. And His love endures. It doesn't evaporate. It doesn't run out. It continues. Day after day after day. And it's beautiful. After we receive the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing of this. And so turn with me, would you, on the other page. And look at the first verse of In Christ Alone. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. And here we go. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you feed us, Jesus, mystically and spiritually here now in the Lord's Supper? Would we receive His strength and His love and your presence in a mystical way that we don't understand? Would you feed us, Jesus, and your grace? Amen.